What's up, everybody? There you go, Kelly. I changed it. Kelly pointed out last time that I say, what is up? And so this time I was like, I'm saying, what's up?
Oh, what is
I
want to
know from all the listeners who else has noticed that.
Anyways, let me actually do the intro. What's up, everybody? My name is Alec. Welcome to the Everyday Parent Podcast, where we get to have conversations to hopefully help you succeed as a parent, as a family. And so this week is a special episode for a couple reasons. One, we have a debut of Macy. Macy, how are you?
I
just blanked on your last name, but it's Macy Brown. I know people.
Thank goodness. Oh my gosh.
Macy, what do you do here at the church?
I'm the special needs ministry coordinator here at Long Hollow. I started in March, so.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm over the special needs ministry. So I am the point person when it comes to new families that we have at Long Hollow that have kids with special needs. I'm the person they can come to and talk to, and I can explain to them, you know, what we offer here at Long Hollow. And then I'm also over the volunteers in the ministry. So I'm making sure that we have the trained volunteers that we need to be able to take care of and teach the gospel to our kids with special needs.
That was great.
She's awesome. She's been a great addition to our team.
And thank you, the other voice, the familiar voice, is Miss Kelly Blaza. How are you doing today, Kelly?
I'm doing so great. I'm so excited because we have not only Macy, but we have another guest
joining us in a way that we haven't done before. We've had a phone call before, but not like this. We are full on professionals. And as you can hear there, Kelly, I'll let you introduce our guest.
Okay, so we have Courtney Birdwell joining us. She is one of our incredible volunteers who serves alongside Macy in our special needs ministry. Mm-hmm. But Courtney, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, well, I am a board certified behavior analyst. And I work at the Autism Clinic at Hope. We are located in Gallatin in the Hunt Club. And here I serve as not only a behavior analyst, but I also serve as the clinic site director.
So what is a behavioral analyst? Because the only behavioral analyst I know of is from Criminal Minds. So.
Oh, yes. So, I don't know, we do a lot of things, but we specialize in looking at behavior, trying to figure out the function of behavior, and you know, what are the best ways to intervene to promote socially appropriate behaviors and teach replacement behaviors for challenges that kiddos might face that interfere with their daily lives.
So, Courtney, when you meet new people, are you able to turn that off, or are you analyzing every person you ever meet? Are you even allowed to answer that question?
Yeah, it's hard to hang out with Courtney because she's always just judging my kids and my parenting.
No,
just
kidding. I'm not. At all.
She's actually amazing.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think that it's not like that at all. It's not like I'm sitting in it and analyzing everyone's behavior. Not at all. But I do find, like, I will, if things arise, I will look at different angles and environmental factors and things like that. But
I think one thing that's really cool when you watch both Courtney and Macy interact with kids, and I'm talking kids of all ability levels, I think they both genuinely have, like, a gift on how to connect with kids, especially kids from maybe hard places or kids with different developmental needs. You can watch them in any environment, like whether it's here at church or like at camp or at the park, and kids will flock to them naturally, but they'll like get down at the kids' level and they just connect with them. So I'm really excited that they get to be on the episode today because we're going to be talking about how do we talk to our children about special needs,
right?
Which can sometimes be kind of a difficult topic to navigate.
And I think the thing before we hop into it is, like, all four of us are affected or interact regularly with someone with special needs. I know my brother-in-law, he is on the spectrum, more high functioning, but like we all have different connections to special needs. And with that, and for everyone listening, there's probably a different a slightly different definition of what special needs are, and it seems to be ever evolving as more and more things, more and more disabilities or impairments are being found out about, being kind of categorized, different things like that. So before we hop into the conversation, Courtney, Macy, Kelly, I think it would be really helpful to be able to give what our parameters as we have this conversation around special needs is before we go any further. So what would, I mean, I'll give it to whoever wants to take the answer, but like, what would you define special needs as?
I mean, I can jump in. I'd say very simply that someone with a disability has some sort of impairment or limitation that impacts their quality of life. So it can look very different and it can present very differently, but there are lots of different types of special needs, but it comes down to, is it impacting their daily life is what I've kind of gathered.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I agree. I think the spectrum is so broad. Mm-hmm. So special needs is just this really wide net to kind of capture anybody that has, like Macy said, any sort of like impairment, whether that's a physical disability, a cognitive disability, perhaps a developmental delay. With Courtney's area of expertise, that could be like a behavioral challenge that they're working through. And sometimes people have diagnoses and then other times they don't, or it's an unknown diagnosis, which is super challenging for families as they navigate, hey, I know that my child's not developing typically, but I don't really have answers as to why or what the core issue is.
Mm-hmm. And I would probably also add just someone who would require additional, you know, either just services or accommodations to help in their environment.
Sweet. That's super helpful. Yeah. So the first question that comes to my mind as we navigate this conversation is, I know in the context of even kids ministry that there and student ministry, there are parents have allowed certain things for their children that may not, like I'm thinking specifically of like there's one student that always has his phone out, is always either watching something or recording something. And with that, there have been times where it's like, hey, no phones here. And so then it's like, well, why does he get to have his phone out? And so when those kinds of situations come up, how would you recommend handling that in that conversation? Because I know what my response would be is just like, well, he has special needs. And like, that may not be the most, like, that is just how my brain works. I'm not saying that that's best. I am genuinely asking because I know that's not the best answer. So how would you guys handle that conversation with your kids of all ages?
Now, that's a really great question. Mm-hmm. I remember in college, one of my professors said to me, fair doesn't mean that everyone gets the same thing. It means that everyone gets what they need. And this was in a special education class. And essentially, our professor was kind of presenting this philosophy of education that it would be unfair, for instance, to put a student who has a difficulty reading the board in the back of the room. So showing preference to that student by seating them at the front of the room, is that really fair or unfair? Mm-hmm. So it kind of like flipped the script for me a little bit about, oh, fair means everybody gets exactly the same, when in fact, no, what is fair is actually giving everybody what they need in order to succeed in that environment. So I think for little kids, they're gonna see somebody that has something that they don't have and be like, I want that, why can't I play? Mm-hmm. But at the core root is just like helping our kids understand like, hey, this is a tool that someone needs so that they can be successful here, so that they can be safe here, so that they can continue to play and be a part of our group, or this is going to help them in this area. So I often with little kids, because I'm thinking like in a preschool elementary range right now, like encourage the curiosity and encourage questions. For middle school or high school students, they can typically understand if you say to them like, hey, that's a student that has a different ability level, or that student has special needs, so they're going to have some different resources available to them to help them succeed in this environment. Like, I think most middle school and high school students would be able to understand that. But even going one step further, like providing an action or an opportunity for them to be inclusive of saying like, hey, you know, why don't you go over and introduce yourself and maybe get to know them a little bit, and you can better understand like why they have that device or why they have, you know, whatever resource it is that they're utilizing at that moment.
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you said tool, because I think we need to remind her that it is a tool for them. But I am the one that will push back sometimes and be like, hey, parent, you know, does your child truly need this in this environment? Or is it something that can possibly be taken away for this amount of time because it is a distraction towards, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I think it is important to not, well, and my position is different because I'm trying to make sure that each child student that we have at Long Hollow is best suited or, you know, equipped to hear the gospel. And so if I think that their device or their phone is being used in a way that might be taking away from that, then I'll have a conversation with a parent and say, hey, you know, is this something that they truly need in this environment? But I will say too, to the high school and middle school, I agree that they can understand more, but I will say too, that I think some of them assume that sometimes, like, you know, someone with autism or something, they have these tendencies that might look weird, quote unquote weird, to a high school student or middle school student, and they might just, you know, laugh or, you know, be like, oh, well, they're just being weird, but they don't understand the aspect of that might be the student stimming, or they're overwhelmed, and so they're doing different types of motions that might look different. And so I think at that age, it's very important to encourage them to talk to either a parent or adult, or like Kelly said, to form a relationship with them. So then you can ask them that those questions too, as opposed to just staring. I think that asking instead of staring is probably one of the biggest pieces of advice that I could give, for sure.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, when you're talking about the littles, kind of like Kelly was saying, in the preschool, elementary age, I think it's really important too to explain that everyone is different. You know, God made us all different in our abilities and our talents and the styles that we learn. And I think just, you know, really teaching about those differences while also focusing on strengths and positive things that each kiddo can do, I think that helps, you know, okay, well, this kiddo might be learning differently than you, you know, and that kind of will help that understanding piece of, okay, well, they need this because they learn differently than I do. So just, you know, teaching them that from that young age, I think will help as they get older and see that throughout their lives.
So how do you help kids interact in a positive way? Because, like, I remember one of the first times that I did like a Special Olympics, I was kind of thrust out into just like, hey, go, you know, you like sports, go do this. And I remember being like, well, I don't know how to communicate, like, in an effective way. And this was me as like a third or fourth grader. And I just remember being really lost of like, what is best, what is most helpful. And it was almost paralyzing to the point where I felt my heart was to help and to make connection, but my actions were standoff and judge. And it was in that paralysis of confusion that I'm like, well, I don't know what to do here. So how can parents help their kids in those interactions?
I would say one of the ways is to model social skills for your kids. You can demonstrate active listening, empathy, respectful communication, just modeling that for them, and then encourage them to find some common ground with a kiddo who's may have different abilities. You know, just speaking from kids on the spectrum, several of them have a lot of, you know, interests that other kids like, you know, and you can, you know, say, oh, that kiddo, you know, really enjoys trains. So you could, you know, maybe have a conversation about them because you like trains too, or you went on a train. Mm-hmm. Just trying to find that common ground and those commonalities between the, you know, each kiddo.
I think I'm going to brag on you and your kids for just a second, Courtney. So my son has special needs and is fascinated and low-key obsessed with Lightning McQueen. And one thing that Courtney will often do when she sees my son is engage in a conversation about Lightning, because that's a topic that he will almost always immediately jump to and be really engaged with. He has a pretty significant speech delay. So for most people, it's really hard to engage in a conversation. But because Courtney has modeled this, now her kids, when they see my son, will do the same thing. And, I mean, let's be real, she also has a son around the same age, so they probably both genuinely do like cars and do like Lightning. But even though her son may be outgrowing that stage of like interest, whenever he sees my son, he's always like, "Hey Jude, like, do you have your Lightning today?" And it's just a really kind way to be inclusive of kids that have different ability levels by finding that common ground. I think sometimes, personally, what I've experienced is when a kid approaches my family and they suddenly notice that our son is different, they'll kind of, like, the kids might point or ask, and they're just like, "Hey, like, why isn't he talking, or why can't he do X, Y, or Z?" And I've watched parents respond in a multitude of ways. So some parents are immediately horrified that their kid just pointed and asked a question, and they're like, "Shh," and they like kind of grab him and like lead him away, and they're like, "I'm so sorry." And I'm like, no, like, it's totally fine. Like, this is a great, in my mind, like a great teaching opportunity to just have a conversation about special needs, because, you know, obviously your child hasn't been exposed to somebody like this, and that's okay. Here we can kind of dialogue about that. Other times I've watched parents kind of get down on their child's level, and, you know, they're trying to walk them through like, "Well, hey, like, I don't know what's different about him. Like, why don't we ask him his name, or like, let's find out, or maybe you can ask him to play." And so, personally, I'm really comfortable talking about it and explaining it to other kids, because I have had kids say, like, "Why doesn't he talk?" And I'll say, "Okay, so speech for him is really hard, but he can communicate in other ways. So when he was younger, he would use sign language a lot. And so if I was at the park and a kid wanted to, like, hang out, I would sometimes, like, show him, like, a sign or two and be like, "Hey, if you want to say this, you could do this." Or you could even just ask yes-no questions, because he can at least respond with yes or no. Now he's a lot further along, but like back then I'd be like, "Hey," rather than saying like, "What do you want to play?" I would tell the kids, say, "Hey, do you want to go to the slide?" Because he can say yes or no, or like nod. So even I think giving our kids, and even some adults, the tools, like, just because someone is, quote, nonverbal, doesn't mean they're non-communicative, meaning that they can still have a conversation with you. It's not just going to look the same as it would with someone who can communicate verbally. But things like making eye contact, addressing the person by name, highlighting what they are good at or what strengths they do have, engaging with like fun conversation, like just joking around with them, all of those things I would say are really positive. Even physical touch. And what I mean by that is like a pat on the back, or like a fist bump, or a high five, like utilizing different forms of communication and love just to extend kindness to kids.
Macy, you got anything for that?
Everything that they said, I was like, yep, I was going to say that. So yeah, they nailed that. I just want to reiterate too the aspect of not assuming that a child with a disability can't understand what you're saying or doesn't understand what's going on. And so like in your instance, Alec, like, you were very young, but like if you would have known like, "Hey, this child looks different, they're going to communicate different, but that doesn't mean that they can't actually understand," and you could literally just go up there and talk to him the same way that you would any other child in your grade, and from there you can start to learn how they might communicate. Are they nonverbal? Maybe they will just, you know, nod their head yes or no, or, you know, different things like that. But even having a conversation with a child who is nonverbal can feel awkward at first if you have not been around a child that doesn't communicate verbally. But you can start to see that even talking to them, they're looking at you and they're hearing you.
Right.
And so just that education is just important, just not to assume that they don't understand.
So what would be, you know, we kind of covered a couple questions, but what would be like, if there's not anything else that is taken away, what would be the one thing that you're like, "Hey, parents, know this," or take the, like, this be the one thing you hear from this podcast? Well, I guess the three things if all three of you answer. But what would be the thing that you're like, "Parents, you need to like lock in on this, or focus on this, or this is a great stepping point," something like that?
I think for me, it's that kindness goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, especially as my son has gotten older, I'm watching, like, he, this is going to sound so depressing, but, like, I think honestly outside of, like, Courtney's son and maybe one other kid at school, like, he really doesn't have a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. And so kindness goes such a long way. Like, when we're out and about, whether it's at church or at the park, and if I notice that kids make an effort, even just to greet him or to include him. Now, granted, my son, honestly, he's probably not going to participate in a lot of different things just because he's not into it. But there's a couple of kids at church, honestly, that every time they see my son, they go out of there like, hey, mm-hmm. Jude, how's it going? And those little tiny gestures mean so much to my son because he suddenly realizes, oh, hey, somebody actually sees me for who I am and mm-hmm. is greeting me by name. So I would say, as you're talking to your kids about how to interact with kids with special needs, just encourage them to be kind. Like, mm-hmm. going the extra mile to say hi, greet them by name, include them when possible, make jokes with them, not at them, with them, mm-hmm. but like including them as much as possible. Because like Macy said, so many people and so many kids, their cognitive ability, they actually can understand a lot of what's going on around them. Mm-hmm. They may not just be able to process that or verbalize it outwardly. So to just never assume what somebody can't do. And I would say just whenever possible, like, extend kindness.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like kindness, empathy, and inclusivity, those are the values that I think will really help a child learn how to be friends with mm-hmm. kids, children with special needs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think probably one of the more important things too for parents to remember is something as simple as knowing and remembering that every child is made in the image of God. Mm. And when we remember that and look at every child that way, it helps you to do like what Courtney was talking about, modeling the behavior that your child should have just by simply treating them like any other child. And another thing that I feel like is very important is to remember too, kind of like what we said about how just remembering that they do understand what's going on. And so, for example, you know, if you do have a high school student that does have autism and say they come to church and they feel very included at church because people aren't bullying and it's, you know, they're having a good time, but 9 times out of 10, they're going home and they're not having people to hang out with outside of that. And they know that, and they see that those people that they hang out with at the high school ministry, they're super nice to them, but then they see that they're hanging out with each other outside of that. Mm-hmm. And so just like reaching out to be like, you know, maybe to the parent or to the kid and just like, hey, do you want to go see a movie or do you want to go do this? Just like one time, even a month. I mean, just reaching out and just showing that small, like Kelly said, it's a very small act of kindness, but for that student, it's going to go such a long way and he's going to feel so much more included and seen. And you know, we say that that's important for everyone to feel that. So just remembering that.
Also, I, right out of college, worked with a lot of different young adults and students with special needs. And I just want to say, I learned so much from them because their perspective on things was so unique.
Very.
Some had these amazing minds, like brilliant minds. Mm-hmm. Now, socially, we had a lot of skills to work on, but they would be mm-hmm. so knowledgeable about different topics. And so I would say it's actually not a relationship where you're necessarily going to be the one, quote, like giving everything. Like, oh, well, if I befriend this person with special needs, then that's going to be a relationship where I'm just kind of have to give. No, I think I want to just be really clear that you are going to gain mm-hmm. so much so from these individuals.
So true.
The love that they have to give, mm-hmm. I think, is so reflective of the love that the Lord has for us too. Mm-hmm. They're so often like quick to forgive, mm-hmm. Quick mm-hmm. to laugh, quick to have joy. So I would just say, Alec, I really appreciated your honesty in the beginning of the conversation to say like, hey, I was kind of thrown into a situation and honestly felt uncomfortable and didn't know what to do. But just leaning into that curiosity mm-hmm. and it's okay. Like, so even us, we don't always know what to do in the moment or like how to best accommodate somebody. So I think just being really humble, asking honest questions and being kind and empathetic will go a really long way.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I have experienced more joy and more genuine laughter with some of our kids with special needs than like my adult friends sometimes. I'm like, they are so
absolutely
funny. And it's just so much fun. And Courtney and I, even the other day, we were like, hey, I want her to hang out with us outside of church. Like, she's just yeah so much fun. So yeah, it's so true. You get so much out of relationships with them.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we'll be, whenever we go to visit Lyndon's family, we'll just be sitting there, and then all of a sudden from upstairs, you hear an entire SpongeBob episode or Phineas and Ferb episode, all the different characters, all the different voices. I'm just like, I wish I could retain like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. So, Courtney, yeah, before we let you go, if you had one or two resources that would be helpful for any parent to check out, what would it be? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here.
For parents with special needs,
parents with children with special needs, or parents without that are just looking to help.
Well, you could start by possibly checking out our special needs ministry. You know, even if you don't want to serve in it, but at least like get to know Macy and get to know some of the kids. I think that that's a really good way to kind of learn and see if it's something that you might actually enjoy. And then I think there is like all community resources out there. I don't know if you have like a place that you can put them up, but like I can definitely give you some websites to check out with you know, a lot of resources within just Sumner County, which I have found really helpful for the families that I serve here at our clinic.
Yeah, that'd be super helpful. I'll put those in the show notes. So if you're listening, look at the show notes. They're sitting there for you.
Show notes.
Macy, for anyone that is here local in Sumner County or like here at Long Hollow, how can they connect with you? Where can they find you? What are resources? Whatever plugs you want to make, this is your time.
I know Courtney kind of gave a little plug and therefore I didn't even have to. Okay. But no, just to go off of what she was saying, I mean, this thought just came to me that like if you are a parent and maybe you don't have experience with kids with special needs, and maybe that does make you a little uncomfortable, you can reach out. And also, like, I would encourage you to, you know, come to some of the events that we're going to have, but also you could even serve and just be around, you know, those kids. And that way you can learn, so then you can model for your child. But to get a hold of me, you can go to the Long Hollow website. We have a special needs, if we can link that, right, in the podcast?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, you can just follow that link. My email is on there. My phone number is on there. And we have a lot of opportunities to serve. But also, if you're a parent and you have a child with special needs, bring them to Sunday, Wednesday night, you know, contact me. We have some things some information that we can get from you before, but we would love to have you. And we'd love to get to know you and your family more.
And with that, I don't know how public knowledge it is, but you've worked really hard. And even Wednesday night for students in student ministry, you have like a whole separate space that allows for learning, but then also inclusivity and all that in the student building on Wednesday nights, correct?
Yeah.
So that's students run from 6:30 to around 7:45. Mm-hmm. And so if you want your students with special needs to get connected, Macy has got you covered. awesome. So with that, Courtney, thank you so much for your time and being willing to take time out of your day to talk with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Courtney.
We love you, Courtney. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. And then I would normally say we'll see you next week, but this is actually the last episode of this run of episodes.
What?
The last two weeks have been honestly great without Shane.
We love you, Shane.
It's okay.
He'll be back. Don't worry.
He'll be back.
He's coming back. He'll be well rested.
He will.
I'm sitting in Shane's chair, though.
You
apparently,
are.
So.
You are. And so we'll take a quick little break and then we'll be back with more episodes coming up. So be on the lookout for the trailer at the next season. We're not going to get into too much now. All I'm saying is
buckle up.
It's going to be pretty cool. We've got some pretty cool guests coming on that I can almost guarantee you don't expect. So anyways, Don't want to tease too much, but...
Are they fictional?
No, they're real.
They're real.
Wow.
And so, Macy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
You're a much better podcast guest co-host than Shane. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Just kidding.
You brought the median age down a good bit.
Oh, that is true.
I don't know what that means, but...
Average age.
Oh, average age between the three of us. Got
yes,
it.
Yeah.
Got it.
With Shane, it was really high up there.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope he hears this.
He won't, but he doesn't know how to work podcasts. anyways, Shane, if you do get this far, hope everything's going great.
Happy sabbatical.
So, anyways, Kelly, Macy, thank you so much for being on, and we will see you guys next season. See ya.